If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code TASKMASTER to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code TASKMASTER and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code TASKMASTER. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie. Welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host, JP John Paz. Of course, joining me, the star of the show, the former WWE and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Excellent, JP. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Can't complain. We're getting to the end of summer here, which stinks. All right. Let's get into the topic at hand. New Blood Rising, which was held on August 13th, 2000, Vancouver, British Columbia at the Pacific Coliseum. The attendance, 6,600. The tagline, our time is now. The pay-per-view buys, only 85,000 here for New Blood Rising in August 13th of the year 2000. So that is not good. Where are you at this point?
I'm either diving on the reef off Isle of Marotta, or I'm fishing for tarpon in the backcountry.
So I'm guessing you didn't see this pay-per-view.
No, no. I'm shocked that you said Vancouver. I didn't know they ever ran Vancouver.
Very weird, because they went from every year in August for the, you know, 96, 97, 98, 99, those 4 years, was all Hog Wild or Road Wild in Sturgis. And all of a sudden, hey, they cut that off and it's over. And now they're in Vancouver, British Columbia. Very weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any idea, like, what happened with Road Wild or Hog Wild, or not sure what happened with that relationship?
I have no idea what happened, no.
Because this is just a big change all of a sudden here. And obviously Bischoff is gone at this point, because we've talked to this before. Bash of the Beach 2000 with Hogan happened. Bischoff is gone too. So this is a specifically just Russo show here.
Eric isn't there either. So yeah, that would be, maybe Eric had the key to the Sturgis venue. I don't know.
Definitely could be. Could be because Bischoff's not there, and maybe they moved on, or maybe he was gone really before that and then came back up for a little bit and then is gone again. So that could definitely play a factor. What do you think about 85,000 buys? That's it.
I mean, it wasn't a success by any means, I don't think.
No, not at all. Is that just very telling, you think, of just where they were at this point?
What do you think?
I think it's very, very telling that it's just not, whatever they're doing isn't working.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, the proof is in the pudding. If you have a restaurant and you have a line outside, or at least you're busy, you can be successful. But if you have a line, no line, and you have four people a day, you're going to close your doors pretty quickly.
WWF SummerSlam 2000, which was obviously during the same month, did 570,000 buys.
A little bit bigger than 85,000, huh?
By 485,000. Holy crap. I mean, obviously, most of the WWE fans ordered, or no longer WWE fans, now the WWF fans, they all ordered that pay-per-view, it seemed like.
Yeah, it would seem like it. Seemed like they weren't being able to swallow the shit that WCW was serving them.
So really, with New Blood Rising, it's almost as if the New Blood is kind of gone, because there's the Millionaires Club, which is Hogan and Flair and Sting and all, you know, the quote unquote rich guys, Luger, etc. And then there's the New Blood, which is the franchise, Billy Kidman, Lance Storm, Jeff Jarrett, supposedly all the quote unquote new guys. But it's almost like that already passed.
You're breaking up really bad, JP.
Oh, can you hear me? You okay now? Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay. So it's almost like the New Blood Rising pay-per-view itself is almost passe, because they already did the New Blood. You know what I mean? Like the name is already gone. They already kind of went through the New Blood versus Millionaires Club feud.
I thought the New Blood Rising was a horror movie. It turned out to be a horror movie. So.
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then you make a Millionaires Club from the NWO. What? The Rebels? Oh, Fidel and Shay have given up their tanks and their fatigues for boss clothes and moved into the presidential palace and they have ordered Dom Perignon just like Batista. Okay. Well, I mean, what the hell's going on? These were the terrorists, right? These were the bad guys. This was Scott Steiner off the chain, wasn't it?
Yep.
Hello? That would be like watching. I watched it the other day for the first time. The Expendables, right? All dressed up and being detectives. You know, Stallone in that group. I mean, that doesn't look... And then you're going to have the younger kids beat them up after 4 years that they've destroyed everybody, including Goldberg. Go ahead. I'm buying it. Yeah.
I don't know. To me, it almost was like, wow, they were trying to make the Millionaires Club the heels. They were trying to make Hogan and Flair and Sting and Luger and Sid and those guys and DDP. They were trying to get, for some reason, it just seemed like they were trying to make them the heels at first and have the new blood be the baby faces. And it didn't work that way at all. The fans were cheering all the old guys.
Well, let me ask you something. Does it smell like, you know, if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it's usually a duck, right? Does this look like a sitcom to you?
Trying to get rid of the old guys. See, that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah. They buried Rick in the desert, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be a psychiatrist to figure that one out. They've been trying to get rid of Rick since 1989. Just had his last match. His next to last match, right?
To me, too, it's like Hogan feuding with Billy Kidman. Like, oh, we're trying to elevate Kidman. No, I think they were trying to bury Hogan a bit there, too. I mean, that's just a terrible feud for Hulk. And I like Kidman, but I mean, that's an awful feud.
Do you think people remember that?
That feud? Barely. Or if they do remember it, they hated it.
I have never had anybody ask me about that feud.
You know, it's funny, whenever it comes up, because the big event when WWF had in 86, everybody always talks about Hogan Orndorff. Hogan, and then, you know, you'll go a few years later, Hogan Savage, or and you go to 87, Hogan Andre. I mean, they talk about, no one talks about Kidman Hogan. You're right. That's true.
Yeah. It's like they didn't even accept it in their head.
And they fought Hogan's not on this show, but they fought two pay-per-views in a row. So it's like, man, they just are hammering home this Hogan-Kidman feud that nobody wanted to see.
Right.
Could have used Mike Awesome in that spot. Imagine Hogan versus Mike Awesome, his nephew, quote-unquote, his nephew. I mean, that would have been something. You know, somebody decent for Hogan to feud with, but not Billy Kidman.
I do not think that Awesome was his nephew. I think they were related, but he wasn't his nephew. I don't think. I know Horace was his nephew.
Yep.
But I know his family pretty well, and that Horace was his brother's son. I think Mike's a cousin.
I think Mike is related to Horace's wife or something. Wasn't that the case, something like that?
Yeah, it's one of those once removed thing. Yeah, you're right.
So Hogan probably saw him at some parties and stuff, but
they're not
blood, yeah.
Yeah.
So as far as New Blood Rising is concerned, this pay-per-view is, I don't know, we'll get into it, but there's a lot of weird stuff going on here, and I definitely want to get your opinion on it. But it starts off not so bad, though, because we have a Golden Record ladder match, which is kind of silly, but three count, which Evan Courageous, Shannon Moore, and Shane Helms with Tank Abbott, they're pretending they're like the Backstreet Boys or whatever, like the groups of the time, the boy bands of the time. So it's not a bad gimmick per se for heel heat, right? I mean, that's kind of a decent gimmick.
Tank Abbott in a boys band?
Well, that's the silly part. I'm saying the three guys in three count, but Tank Abbott with them is bad, yeah.
Horrible. That kills it. You can't say I had a pizza and the first half was delicious, but the second half they spilled cat urine on it.
Did you ever see him dancing and singing the boy band theme song? Have you ever seen that?
No, I like to think of Tank when I look at the YouTube of UFC and Tank and Dan Severn. No, I mean, again, does this smell like a sitcom?
Could be. Could be what they're going for here. I know they're going for quote-unquote sports entertainment here.
The golden ladder?
The golden record. So the ladder match, but okay. On top
but
of it
the
is...
ladder the- match. On the opening match, you have a ladder match.
Yes.
Very good. Okay.
You don't like that.
Does it say wrestling on the marquee?
Yes.
How many pay-per-views did they sell?
85K.
And how many people were in the building?
6,600.
Long way from Goldberg Hogan, 44,000, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Something's wrong. Somebody got turned off. It isn't Eddie and Chris against each other in the opening match, or Hoovy and Ray in the opening match, or Booker and somebody else in the opening match, or the Harlem Heat versus whoever on the opening match. You start with a gimmick match, and where do you go from the gimmick match?
So obviously you're not liking starting off with a ladder match here.
No. So what is it, the second match? What is that, a fire match?
Just a regular old singles match.
So you put the gimmick match on first. Don't push it. Coming up next, we got this match that nobody's had before. So you open up with it. Okay.
Yeah. Kind of.
Shouldn't the announcers have a chance to push something?
You would hope so, yeah.
Did they, if that was what opened up the show?
I mean, they were trying to promote Booker T versus Jeff Jarrett, which is the main event, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
With that, it's three count. Evan Courageous, Shannon Moore, and Shane Helms defeating the Young Dragons, which is Kaz Hayashi, Jamie Sun, which is Jamie Noble with a mask on, and Yun Yang, who is obviously Jimmy Yang. The match goes 11 minutes, 30 seconds. It's actually pretty good. Just a spot fest, crazy spot fest, but it's actually pretty good.
Fabulous performers. I take nothing away from these guys' ability. It's just put into that silly shit.
Hmm. So you wouldn't have liked Tank Abbott wearing the three count shirt dancing and
yeah, wouldn't it have been better just to have them in a six man tag? Did they climb up the ladders or something?
Yeah, and they got the golden record. You know, because they're the boy band and they're gold record holders or whatever. Okay. So.
Yeah. But wouldn't it be better just to have them in a great six man tag? Because
I those would, guys yeah. are fabulous. Yep.
Okay. And it weakens your ladder matches, but that's here nor there. Would they put Scott and Shane on a ladder match first?
No.
Okay. Just throwing that out there.
So the next. Oh, sorry. What were you going to say?
Supposed to be a special attraction, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So how's the special attraction on first?
I don't know, but those guys, I mean, six great workers there. I mean, they're all really good.
Yeah, but don't they are, and I'm the one pushing, saying they're fabulous, but don't saddle them with that match. Let them perform that. The six of them are probably... At that time, and probably till today, some of the best high flyers in the business of all times. Let them just have a match. Don't saddle them with trying to get a silly record. That's just my opinion.
Yep. Do you like Jamie Noble as Jamie's son wearing the mask?
Yes.
A la Kato from WWF when Paul Diamond had the mask on.
Yeah, very much so. I very much like that kind of stuff. I mean, I named Jerry Lynn Mr. JL.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah.
Just an interesting gimmick, but obviously a good spot for him at the time, too. I mean, the Young Dragons, yeah, they were good. I mean, obviously they were great. But it's just funny to think of Tank Abbott. I don't know why they needed to do that with him. He's Tank Abbott. You know what I mean? Make it like the WWF made Shamrock. He's just a killer.
Well, you know why? They did it to make fun of him, to make fun of the business. There can't be any other reason, is there? Let's go back to Barry and Rick in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a big fucking red light? What's wrong with this picture? Shouldn't somebody have seen that and come to the office and said, hey, we got to look at this. What's really going on here? We got arguably the greatest world heavyweight champion of all times who drew more money, and we got a bunch of guys burying him in the desert.
Do you think he was aware?
That seems... Yeah, he had to be.
Yeah. Was he pissed?
I'm sure he was. He's Ric Flair. Would have Hogan gone for that?
No.
Would Nash?
Probably not. But Flair's such a team player.
Kevin wouldn't have gone for it. Nat Hall 6 wouldn't have gone for it. Nobody would have gone for it. I mean, I just don't know how nobody thinks that was a giveaway to me. There's something seriously wrong. And for nobody to pick up on that means that I'm out of my mind to see it that way.
And it seems like Rick hated it too, but he's just such a team player. He just kind of went along with it.
Absolutely. He wanted to go along.
Man, that's just, I don't know, one of those things that you look back and red flags, like, don't do this to Ric Flair. I mean, he still talks about it to this day, Rick, you know, that he hated that. So,
oh, he does?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Good. Good. So I'm not the only one that sees it that way.
No. No. But I think he was just trying to be a company guy and said, oh, yeah, I'll do whatever you guys ask. Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah, if you know, if it helps out, but knowing that it didn't help anybody.
No. Because, first of all, it wasn't one guy doing that to Rick. How many were there? They were like a swarm of bees. There was about 6 or 7, right?
Yeah, I think it was Conan, Ray, I think Hoovy, and Disco, and maybe, I don't know if Eddie was there at that point or not, but it was 4 or 5 guys from the Filthy Animals, yeah.
Yeah. So now he's got an angle with 5 guys.
That they never followed up with, yeah.
So if they didn't follow up with it, what were they trying to do?
To me,
Ric Flair.
Yeah, to me, literally, or whatever you call it, literally and physically bury him, yeah.
Figuratively, yeah. Yep.
Seemed like, and I know Russo has kind of denied it, but it seemed like trying to get rid of Flair, trying to get rid of Hogan, like trying to get this new regime by getting rid of your two big men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't know if that's the right way to go about it. And maybe they were older at this point, but they still were very valuable and you could have done something with them, put them in good feuds and, you know, you gotta, you know, use them as special attractions. They were definitely still viable because, you know, a few years later in the WWF, both of them are still viable and we're doing big matches.
You could have put somebody like Guerrero with Hogan. And I didn't just pick Eddie out of the ether. You know why I said Eddie?
Mm-mm.
Because I was the one that brought the luchadors in. You know why? When I went to Denver and I saw the Mexican flags, I said, boy, I'm missing a whole audience here. I called Conan, made a deal. He brought the luchadors in. You put Hulk Hogan with Eddie Guerrero, the Latin Heat, it revives Hogan. It shoots blood into Hogan. He's like Dracula. He bites Eddie's neck and sucks that Latino blood out. And Hogan's Latino. He's part Cuban, which no one ever brings up. And his father was Italian, and somewhere down the line, his mother has some Cuban blood. You don't think that would have helped Hogan and Eddie rush him to the top? You don't think the Latinos would have bought a t-shirt of Hogan and Eddie? They could have been eating a taco together or whatever. Or, come on. I mean, if you watch boxing, the guys that really draw in boxing are the two fighters that fight against each other from Mexico, usually. Eddie and Hogan would have revived Hogan. It would have made Eddie an instant name. Don't you think?
Yes.
And then Eddie could have gotten, they could have put Hogan in an angle where they jumped him by him, you know, somebody jumped Hogan and Eddie made the save rather than the other way around. I mean, there's so many ways to go than bury Ric Flair in the desert and not follow through. But that's just me.
Yep. And then obviously Eddie would be gone at this point. He'd be into the WWF. But Eddie, instead of Kidman, I would have took that in a heartbeat over, you know, Kidman feud with Hogan. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the next match is, you're not going to like this one either, Ernest the Cat Miller, although maybe you would. I don't know. Ernest the Cat Miller defeats the Great Muta in 7 minutes. Okay match here, but really weird. So they get Muta in, obviously borrowed from New Japan Pro Wrestling. And I know they have him teaming with the Dark Carnival, him and Vampiro all together a lot. But here he gets a singles match and he loses to Ernest the Cat Miller, who I know he's the commissioner, but he's not high up on the card. I can't see New Japan being too enthralled with their big star, you know, losing here like that.
Okay. I was the one with Eric that broke the deal. When we went over my cards, was any of the Japanese boys ever beat? If they were beat, it was beat in a screw job with Ric Flair or NWO for an angle to go back to Japan. How do you beat Muta with Ernest? Not being cruel. How do you beat Ernest Miller with over Muta?
I agree.
That great. Sends shockwaves back to Japan.
To me, crazy. I remember watching this when I was younger, thinking like, what the hell?
I thought there was one time a lawsuit when somebody that was a booker said he didn't care about the Mexicans or the Japanese.
Yes, yes. Yep, Sonny Ono had a lawsuit against him, yeah.
Yeah, and no, he wasn't the only one, but yeah, so that's the thing, thought process.
Because, man, I remember as a very small kid, Muta in WCW, NWA, thinking this guy's awesome. And then, you know, then he becomes a huge legend. And then we fast forward to 2000 and he shows up WCW. I'm like, yes, this is awesome. Here we go. He's going to dominate. And he loses to Ernest the Cat Miller. Like, what the hell?
I got to be truthful and say why it upsets me so much. I broke Muta into the business in the United States. They handed him to me. And I called him the White Ninja. I was there from the beginning when he first came to the States. I was well aware about taking care of him. I mean, he was just brand new in the business, and I never beat him in Florida. And they were very appreciative of that. And I was the one that was over there. We broke the deal. how, and he was the former NWA champion. He had been the IGPA champion numerous times. That's just thumbing your nose at history and not caring. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, geez, he was feuding with Sting from like 89 to 91, 92-ish, and Sting hardly beat him. You know what I mean? It was very, and Sting's the number one guy pretty much. So, I mean, weird, like the different years of you know, screwing him over, you know, many years later.
And if I'm not mistaken, the time that Sting beat him, they went back to Japan. Didn't Muda beat him in Japan?
Yes.
Certainly
yep.
did. Yeah.
Yep.
So they just traded on the home court.
To me, I don't know, like, I guess you could kind of make an excuse and say, oh, you know, he slipped on a
There's
banana
no
peel. And, but,
sorry,
but yeah, I hate it.
You can't give me an excuse. Sorry, brother. Politically, that's not right, first of all. You don't do that to a company that's giving you $1 million. Sorry.
Huge Japanese legend, second match, and they give him no respect, and he loses to Ernest Cap Miller. His run in WCW, if I was New Japan, which obviously they ended it pretty much soon thereafter, but he, I mean, they had to be furious with some of this stuff.
I'm sure they were. I know them very well. I knew them very well.
And it's not like he's just some Japanese guy that has no background. Everybody knew who he was. As soon as he comes out, everybody knows who he is.
Didn't he beat Rick?
Rick beat him, but you know, he had a main event match against Rick.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this guy was the first. Barber had won the NWA title for like 5 days, so two different occasions. But he was the first guy to win the NWA championship from Japan for any length of time. And then you do this to him?
Very, very strange. It was almost like, you know, Rooster, whoever was writing this, like, they didn't even know about the history or the lineage of the guy who was already over in WCW many, many times over for the last, 11, 12 years up until that point. So, I mean, they were very aware who he was. I mean, when he gets out, I mean, everyone, the crowd knows who he is. So it's not like a shock. You're like, oh, nobody knows. I mean, that's the thing that pissed me off. Like, everybody knows who he is. So you can't make an excuse of, oh, he's not that well known to the American audience. Yes, he is.
Well, it seems to me, if there was a lawsuit where the booker said he didn't care about Japanese or Mexican wrestlers or Hispanic wrestlers, there's something wrong. You couldn't say that today in this woke environment, could you?
No, not a chance in hell. Nope.
Yeah.
So then we have the next match. You're going to love this one. They call it Judy Bagwell on a pole match, but it's really Judy Bagwell on a forklift match. She literally is out there with a, you know, with a buff t-shirt on and not a buff t-shirt, but she's worn that before, but she's, you know, she's in her garb, I guess, her dress, her outfit, but she's on a forklift.
How did they ever get 85,000 people to buy that pay-per-view? Was a gun pointed to their head? Wow.
Literally insane. I don't know where this idea came from or why, but Chris can't. And the phrase is all over the place. Chris can, he always says, Judy Bagwell on a forklift match. And it's a funny like phrase, but it's one of the things where you see, you're like, wait a second, that's real? Like that actually happened? Wow.
Okay, let me ask you something. And I've asked you this about four times. Does this seem like a sitcom to you?
This definitely does. Tank Abbott is singing and dancing, even though he's one of the toughest guys in the world. Great Muda is being disrespected and loses, you know, to, you know, basically a mid-card guy. And then Judy Bagwell's on a forklift.
Yeah. What did they do for the finish?
So you get this. David Arquette tries to cheat. David Arquette comes out of nowhere and tries to cheat. Buff thwarts him, and Buff ends up beating Canyon in about 7 minutes to get the win. But to make it even funnier, it's like, oh, we'll throw David Arquette out there. It's like, what?
Is David Arquette – does? I'm familiar with David Arquette.
Yeah. Yep.
If, doesn't he do a lot of comedy in his movies?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Wasn't he in Scream?
Yep.
Boy, I'm going to ask you again. Does this seem like a sitcom to you?
They're trying to make it into one, yeah. And it's weird, too, because, like, where did he even come from? I know, obviously, he's a former WWE champion, unfortunately, but where the hell does he even come from as far as his feud? I have no idea, but he's out there. He's trying to interfere.
Yeah.
Man, Judy Bagwell on a forklift. Can you believe that? Crazy. What a crazy, crazy time in WCW.
Yeah.
Would you ever book Judy Bagwell on a forklift?
Nope.
Would you ever book Judy Bagwell, period? I don't know if you have before.
No, I never did. But I'll tell you why. I saw Tommy Rich die a horrible death in Atlanta when he was hotter than anybody in the country against Holly Race. His mother was at ringside, and she reached in and scratched Holly. It was work, but she scratched him. The building went boom. And I said, boy, that was a mistake. And I learned from it. I wasn't my booking, but I didn't know if it would work or not, but I certainly saw how it killed Tommy. And I don't think he ever recovered from it. In Atlanta, and then he was soon gone when he was the hottest thing in the country at one time. And I said, boy, you can't bring in a mother on an angle, but you can bring a father in if the father gets involved, gets hurt, like I did with my dad. But you become a mummy's boy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Your mother is going to fight for you? God. Maybe I'm wrong, but this almost looks like I'm right. Cartoon. Okay.
And the odd thing is, I don't know if they were trying to get Buff really over as a face or as a heel, because the crowd did not like Judy Bagwell, but Canyon's the heel here. So it's very weird. I don't know what they were trying to do. Maybe the old Tommy Rich thing, but obviously that didn't work, and this didn't work either.
Yeah, obviously it didn't.
So then we have a four-way tag team title match here. So Chronic, Brian Adams, and Brian Clark defeat the Perfect Event of Sean Stasiak and Chuck Palumbo, also Sean O'Hare and Mark Jindrak, and the Misfits in Action, General Rection and Corporal Cajun, the Four Corners match for the WCW Tag Team Championships, and they win it in about 12 minutes. So Chronic goes over, and they retain their tag team title match. Nothing really to write home about here, nothing too great. It was also just kind of weird that the Filthy Animals were kind of interfering as they were the guest referees as well, but there was way too many guys in this match. It was crazy. It's a Four Corners tag match, and the referees are special. It just seemed like a clusterfuck.
Why were the Filthy Animals special referees?
I have no idea. It makes no sense. I don't even remember why.
You need a special referee.
No ring.
Why? But why are they there? Isn't a special referee because there's been a problem earlier matches?
Yep.
Why are they there?
I don't think there's a reason. Okay. Other than them trying to feud with the tag champs of Chronic. But I don't know. There was no real wrestling logic to that one.
That one? Let's go back to Muda. That one?
Okay. Speaking of Muda, him and Vampiro come out during this match and they try to interfere. So Muda's back out there with Vampiro, his tag partner of the Dark Carnival.
After he got beat by Ernest
Miller. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Got a lot of steam on him coming back out, right?
Yeah, not good. So then the next matchup, your two buddies here, Billy Kidman defeated Shane Douglas with the beautiful Tori Wilson in a strap match in about 8 minutes. If you remember this feud, a lot of interesting things happened in this feud kind of leading up to it. including a Viagra on a pole match during Nitro.
Okay.
I don't know if you have you heard of that one? Shane couldn't get it going in bed, couldn't get it up, even though Tori Wilson is, you know, knockout 10, gorgeous. Shane said never had that problem before. You know, they're filming him, and Tori's like, oh, it's okay. So then they have a Viagra on a pole match to kind of really tease it. So made Shane look pretty, you know, pretty bad, you know, if he quote unquote can't get it up with Tori Wilson.
I'm going to ask you this last time. You're hard to change. This doesn't sound like a sitcom to you.
Oh, it does. Yes.
They're trying to pitch a sitcom. Right?
It's definitely possible. Yeah, definitely.
You're
definitely
trying to cut this up and take it around and show it to yeah, that's my take on it.
And Shane,
how far away from wrestling is this?
Yep. And Shane and Kidman, I mean, they tried to have a good match during the strap match. It was okay. It wasn't bad. But, you know, they're giving it their all here. I just don't think they're given good creative material as far as the buildup in the feud. You know, Shane takes kind of Tori Wilson away from Kidman, I guess you could say. But it was just, I don't know, weird stuff with Viagra and a pole and, you know, everything that led into it.
Sounds that way.
So you're against having a Viagra and a pole match?
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some logic to it. You know what I mean? And here's a guy that you're talking to that had bones around his neck and conjured Mark Lorne from the ocean. There's got to be logic in it.
Yeah, the logic on this one, not good. But the next match is Major Guns defeating Miss Hancock in a Mud Rip Off the Clothes match, which goes 7 minutes. So, obviously, Major Guns, known for her Major Guns, and Stacey Keibler, who is Miss Hancock, is gorgeous. They're having a mud match where you have to rip off the other's clothes. This would not fly today.
I don't think it's played well then either.
Weird stuff. I mean, I guess that they're going for that demographic, 18 to 49 or whatever, the males, they're going for it here, but I don't know. Doesn't look good. Mud. There, first of all, it's a mud match, and then they have to take each other's clothes off. Just to, you know, this isn't a strip club here. You know what I mean? This is a WWE pay per view.
Are you sure?
Maybe not. Not good.
I don't know what to say about that one. So.
Yeah, you're speechless. I'm surprised. Yeah, I knew a few of these would get you. This you might be okay with. Sting defeats the Demon in a singles match in about 50 seconds. So squash match victory here for the Stinger.
Was this Dale Torborg?
Yeah,
he's a fabulous athlete. They could have got more than 50 seconds out of it.
I don't know why it was so short. Maybe because they have 11 matches on the pay-per-view?
I have no idea.
So the next matchup, Lance Storm defeats Mike
Austin. Time for Judy Bagwell.
Yeah, too much time with Judy Bagwell. So the next match, Lance Storm defeats Mike Awesome in a Canadian rules match for the WCW United States Championship. Storm retains his title in 11 minutes, 30 seconds. This match, this was terrible. Just because, I mean, Storm is awesome and Mike Awesome is great, but the rules in the match. So Jacques Rougeau is the referee and Mike Awesome would continually win. Jacques Rougeau would check the rule book. He threw it out. They would restart the match. Awesome would win again. They throw it out. So it was crazy. Bret Hart even comes out at the end and like congratulates Storm on the victory, but it almost seems ridiculous because I know they're in Canada, so he actually was getting a babyface reaction for this, but Mike Awesome beat him like four times and they keep changing the rules so that Mike Awesome can lose because they're in Canada and the Canadian rules and Jacques Rougeau is helping him. So this was really bad. And Lance Storm told me that he was promised Mike Awesome was getting a big push out of this. So that's why he kind of had to look dopey for this match. Guess what? Mike Awesome becomes that 70s guy, and he didn't get a big push after this.
I don't want to keep on repeating myself.
Yeah, it's crazy. So Storm is the U.S. champion, the hardcore champion, and the cruiserweight champion. So he's got all the belts. He puts the Canada stickers on all of them. He's getting this big push. And he just looked like a total dweeb in this match, getting destroyed by Mike Awesome. Jacques Rougeau keeps cheating and putting the Canadian rules. I mean, it's funny to a point, but it was done really, really bad, especially with two guys you know can have a great match. And you're in Canada, so if Storm gets the win, he gets the win. You know what I mean? So really bad.
Yeah. To do that to those guys, you're absolutely right, who are very, very good. That's bullshit. So.
Yep. And the crowd comes out afterwards. Bret Hart comes out afterwards, and the crowd is loving Bret. But it's almost like, wow, he came out to congratulate Lance Storm, who looked like a complete goof because of the booking.
Yeah.
Yep, not good.
No.
So then Great Muta is back. The Dark Carnival of Great Muta and Vampiro defeats Chronic, Brian Adams, and Brian Clark for the tag team championships in about 9 minutes. So for some reason, there's two tag matches in one night. But hey, look at that. Muta gets the win. 50-50 booking. He gets the win with Vampiro. Now he's the tag champ.
You've lost me completely.
I knew you would not like this pay-per-view. I knew it.
No, you got me completely lost. Was this the last one they ever did?
No, they would go to March of 2001. So, you know, you had about 6 months left. Then you have Kevin Nash defeating Goldberg and Scott Steiner in a triple threat match in 11 minutes. But you would think, like, okay, that's not bad. But Goldberg refused to, quote unquote, follow the script. So he walked out on the match. Russo confronts him about following the script. He would not follow the script. That's what they say. So then Nash beat Steiner to win in 11 minutes. But they really, really exposed the business, like more so than Vince McMahon ever did doing that. I mean, just crazy, crazy match. And the whole thing was that Goldberg will not follow the script.
This is beyond me. I can't even comprehend it.
You're getting less and less, interested as I go on. Thank God there's only one match left.
Yeah. I mean, I can't comprehend what they're doing.
Could you even imagine, though, like, as far as, like, booking, it literally saying, the guy won't follow the script, so it's going to be unpredictable. Isn't that crazy?
No, because somebody wants to have the spotlight on them, don't they?
Seems like it, because they do come out during the – Russo does come out during the match.
Please, come on.
And, of course, this starts a Goldberg-Russo feud.
Oh, and then didn't he win the fucking world title?
Right after this, yes.
And they used to bitch about Dusty putting himself over? Okay.
Yep. I don't even mind Arquette as champion as much as I don't like Russo as champion. I mean, that's crazy. Hey, at least Arquette donated all his salary to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To Brian Pillman's family and stuff. So
yeah, Pillman's widow.
Yep.
Yeah.
So one final match here, because I know you're loving this. Booker T defeats Jeff Jarrett in 15 minutes to retain his WWE championship, and actually probably maybe not the only good match tonight, but the only standout match of the night here, as Booker T goes over, still champion. But the rest of the card probably not so good, but he wins via the bookend. Decent match there. You figured that from Booker T and Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, and really, my thought process on Jeff really went through the roof when I saw what he did in Rick's match just recently. Jeff is a very, very, very talented individual who doesn't get the credit he deserves. Very talented and very smart.
I always said one of the best people.
Yeah, and him and Booker would have a terrific match. But the rest of it, I wouldn't cross the street to watch it.
Not a good showing at all. It was one of the things that just kind of helped WCW keep going down the downward spiral. You know what I mean? You look for that hump and try to get back up the mountaintop, but no, this puts you right back down and, crash and burn, if you will.
I've seen better independent cards than this.
And you can't say talent wasn't good. The talent's there. I mean, you got a bunch of good guys on there. You know what I mean? You got Booker, Jeff, Nash, Goldberg, Steiner. Yeah, it's Lance Storm. I mean, great talent.
Yeah. But you've killed it.
Yep. So. And you're wondering why Bischoff didn't want to work with Rusev.
Anyway.
I mean, it could be the reason right there. Those two, you know, they didn't share the same vision for sure.
Yeah.
They did, you know, obviously didn't want to work together.
Yeah.
So you're giving that one two thumbs down. Let's head towards the plugs. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Follow Kevin on Instagram at Taskmaster Talks and go to ProWrestlingTees.com and pick up a Kevin Sullivan store. Kevin Sullivan shirt at the store. Kevin, what else you got going on?
Oh, I'm going to be at the Cauliflower Alley Club this next month. And I'll be at Outlaw Wrestling at the end of the month. So I'm all over the place. So thank you, JP. You've made me sick to my stomach, but I'll take an Alka-Seltzer and be okay.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. See you right back here next week for the Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. See you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPT Empire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the ultimate test stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code TASKMASTER to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code TASKMASTER and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code TASKMASTER. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie.
But now apparently there's a rage building inside of Booker T that cannot be controlled. And ladies and gentlemen, if you can believe it, tonight, Booker T, anything goes against Goldberg in the aftermath of what went down last second.
Let's not forget the tape with Kidman and Torrey Wilson later. I heard they try every position but shortstop in that tape.
Buff Bagwell is in the ring along with his mother, Judy Bagwell, still wearing the neck brace. Required after suffering a canyon cutter at the hand of Chris Canyon. Positively Canyon.
At least you got Canyon cutter, right? Canyon cutter is what it is. He invented it.
Not either.
It's all about Canyon. And that tape. Every position with shortstop, I'm telling you.
The scripted ad-lib. Brilliantly executed by Mark Madden.
Well, here comes Positively Canyon. And as he comes to the ring to meet Buff Bagwell with Judy in the ring, only wonder what he's got on his mind, what else he can do to this Bagwell family.
I have a serious question. Sex tape. Why does Buff Bagwell keep bringing his mother to the ring? That's putting her in a very dangerous situation.
He can keep an eye on her, especially when he's got Positively Canyon tied up in the ring.
You're right. Now, where's Canyon, sex tape?
It's not dangerous because he's nowhere to be seen. If Canyon doesn't make it to the ring, we've cut the music abruptly here.
This is supposed to be Buff Bagwell and Positively Canyon to settle the issue of what's been going on earlier on with Judy Bagwell, Buff's mother. Try again.
I never get tired of Canyon's theme music, so keep playing it.
And another production miscue back there. What's going on?
What else could possibly go on tonight? Tell me.
I love Judy Bagwell. I wish she wasn't here. I feel bad that she keeps getting put in dangerous situations.
Well, I want to tell you what else can go on here. High above the ring is a cage, gigantic cage. Well, there goes the music again. We're going to tell you what that's about in this program in a few moments if we can.
Well, let's hear for DDP.
Yeah, the heck with DDP. Bring that
Canyon.
I should
say Chris Canyon. You know what? I know Cleveland's here to see Buff Daddy no matter what. And as long as I got Judy Bagwell by my side, Chris Canyon, your ass is mine.
Chris, get your chicken shit ass down here right now.
Good night, nurse.
Does she kiss her son with that mouth?
Mother, this is TNT. You can't say that.
Marcus, I say what I want to say. Chris, you are one son of a bitch. Get your ass down here.
If my mom's watching, Mom, turn it off. Don't listen to his mom.
Don't turn it off.
Well, obviously he's not coming so Buff Daddy wins. Let's play Buff Daddy's music one more time.
Where is Positively Canyon?
I don't.
Oh, wait, book signing. I bet that's where he's at.
That could be it.
Yeah. Have I mentioned the book, Positively Canyon?
Yeah, and that's not all you've mentioned in this telecast. Oh, mama.
She's going to throw something out.
I've seen it all tonight. But Judy Bagwell doing the Buff strut. What's this? What happened to the cameraman is putting his camera down.
No!
The cameraman just wiped out Buff Daddy.
That's one tough cameraman.
What the?
That's no cameraman.
Wait a minute.
That's
Positively Canyon. You mean this company pays him so little he has to work as a cameraman too?
No. It was a swerve. Up and down goes Canyon. Can you believe how conniving Positively, well, I guess you can't. Positively Canyon is.
No wonder we keep losing cameramen.
He went over the top, Buff Bagwell. Positively Canyon's back in the ring. Come on.
Checking on each mother.
Oh, Canyon cutter. Bang. Wait a second. He's making eyes at Judy Bagwell and not in that way.
Well, that stuff got to stop. You can't Canyon cut Judy Bagwell.
Please, no. And please, if he attempts to.
Somebody help her. Seriously, this is too much.
She's trying it. She's doing everything she can to get away from Positively Canyon.
Well, she called him out.
Man, those shoes cost $4 a pair, and she's throwing them.
Oh, this is horrific.
Chris, come on, forget it.
Please, this is live TV, and I don't know what's going to happen in the backstage area.
Settle down.
And say, she can't get away from
him.
No, don't, Chris.
Chris, she has a bad neck. Let her go. This isn't the shiny. This isn't the shiny, for heaven's sakes.
This is really frightening. Imagine you're Judy Bagwell. You got a bad neck already. The man's attacked you more than once. What can be going through your mind? What's he doing? He's got her. What's he doing to Judy Bagwell?
Good night, Duncan.
That's a man's mother, and he's put her in a trunk of a car.
Hey, she did swear before.
So what? That doesn't make it all right.
Where are they going?